Erin Uredes is the CEO of Out and Equal Workplace Advocates, and she's here to talk about Out and Equal's 2021 agenda and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be with you today.
Tell us about Out and Equal.
So Out and Equal was started about 25 years ago. We are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year when our beloved founder, Solise Barry, was kicked out of seminary after having studied for a few years after coming out as a lesbian. And she looked around and saw that most companies did not have LGBTQ protection in the workplace. So knocked on doors, launched the first ever LGBTQ training in the workplace called Building Bridges, and then launched something called the Annual Workplace Summit, which continues to be the largest queer workplace conference in the world. And here we are many years later, still doing this great work.
How did you become involved?
So I love telling this story, Charlotte, because when I came out in my early 20s, I was working for a management consulting company and was fortunate enough to be sent with the LGBTQ employee resource group to one of the first Out and Equal Workplace Summits. So that was in the early 2000s, and we were only a few hundred people back then. And for me, the experience was really life-changing because I had gone kind of hiding within my own ERG as a lesbian. I do identify as bisexual and now pansexual and queer. When I went to Out and Equal, I actually lied to my gay male colleagues and told them I was going to some HR, you know, policy workshop. And I snuck into the bisexual workshop, which is the first time and place I ever met any other bisexuals. And it was transformative. It was profoundly life-changing. So I, you know, left that conference with a new set of tools and relationships and language and went back to my own LGBTQ ERG to really fight for what I call the integrity of inclusion and tried to get our ERG to be more open-minded and inclusive. And so I got plugged into Out and Equal pretty early, pretty young, and then was invited eventually to join the board of directors. I also served Out and Equal as a co-chair for one of our summits in 2007, and then was moved overseas to a Middle Eastern country where I was doing some pretty incredible work in my career, but it also meant I went back into the closet and was disconnected from the community, frankly, for quite a few years, and then moved back to the country and had a real hunger to get back to this work, to the movement, to Out and Equal as an organization, and was very fortunate to have been selected as the new CEO to follow Solise 3 years ago now.
What would you like to accomplish at Out and Equal?
So what we're working to still accomplish is largely the same as where we started 3 years ago when I began as CEO. And that was formed, Charlotte, out of some pretty powerful and poignant conversations we had with the community, with our community in a listening tour. And out of that, we arrived at four pillars that was really going to define and still does define Out and Equal in this new era for these times. So one of them, to my story as a bi plus person, is leading the work towards inclusion for all. Inclusion for all queer people, everybody in LGBTQ. So that means working with ERGs on being more inclusive, more collaborative with the other non-LGBTQ ERGs in intersectional programming. It also means education in workplaces at large on the basics, but also some emerging issues like helping facilitate pronouns in the workplace. So we believe that, you know, it all starts at home. We have to make sure that within our own community, we understand how the community is evolving and we address all the needs as they're emerging. The second is what I call a whole system change. So that really meant and still means for us participation at all levels with our community and creating what Out and Equal is doing. So not being in an ivory tower, kind of dictating what workplace equality, you know, should look like, but pivoting to be in the center of what I call a learning community, in some circles called new power, but essentially it leverages everybody's experience and knowledge and also technology. So with that, we launched something called the Global Hub, which is essentially the only site of its kind where people can log in and gain tools and resources and conversations on LGBTQ equality. You know, that is a huge focus for us, and it's also behind our global work. We do work in India, China, and Brazil. And our approach is that we presume the wisdom of local people to develop and modify best practices, and D&I work and bring it back into the system. The third pillar is about what all of us are seeing and witnessing in the media almost every day now, which is corporate advocacy and activism. We are supporting change agents within corporate systems who are not just corporate systems, but all systems who are real time right in front of us, pushing their companies to stand up for values in a way they never did. And at one point, I think we could have never imagined it. I don't call this a trend anymore, Charlotte. I think it's now a theme, because I don't see any going back from this. Companies are getting more confident in standing up for equality, justice, and other social change in new ways every day. We saw it in Indiana and North Carolina with the bathroom bills many years ago. It really exploded in 2018 with Parkland and guns, followed by, you know, families being separated at the borders. And now we see companies recently, of course, pulling money out of PACs and trying to have influence in politics in that way. So that's something that we're focused on, is supporting that. And then finally, it's belonging. It's driving culture change work in companies, moving from diversity, just kidding, you know, the right people in the seats around the table, to inclusion, which is policies and resources and ERGs, to really intersectional approaches to environments and cultures at work where everybody feels like they belong, no matter what identity they hold. So I know that's a lot. It's a lot of work, but we're excited that we feel like our approach and the way we're connecting with our community and leveraging the community means that we're going to be able to, frankly, Charlotte, help companies accelerate, you know, through mistakes, not start over, reinvent the wheel, because there's a lot of damage that needs to be repaired right now. And so, yeah, we're thrilled to be in the new era and feel good about that.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
So coming from my particular background in working across many movements, I'm always looking at optimizing and accelerating transformational change. So in that way, I'm trying to position Out and Equal at least to leverage these larger disciplines to enhance policy work and really focus on action and practice.
What would you like to see happen for our LGBTQ community in the Biden-Harris administration?
So we do have a few things, Charlotte, but let me just take a pause and a moment, because I think it's important for us to celebrate in just 2 weeks what incredible progress has already been made. The shift from the previous administration's politics of discrimination, transphobia, and fear to this new administration's politics of equality, progress, and inclusion are unbelievably powerful. And frankly, it feels both, I don't know how it feels to you, but it feels to me like both acknowledging and rewarding to our community after having been targeted for the past 4 years by the Trump administration. Before the inauguration, you know, we already knew Biden was poised to be the most pro-equality president. And in fact, in 2 weeks, he's already catapulted, I think, LGBTQ workplace inclusion to new heights. So let's just take a moment to acknowledge that this administration wasted no time, first of all, to show commitment to LGBTQ equality by implementing BOSTOC decision. And that was, of course, the landmark Supreme Court victory this past summer, and one that the Trump administration was not eager to enforce. And as we speak, so, you know, LGBTQ workplace protections are being implemented and enforced across all federal agencies, making it the most comprehensive executive action ever taken. So bravo there, Biden-Harris. Also on his first day, Biden reversed the ban on diversity, equality, and inclusion trainings for federal employees and contractors, which, you know, frankly, Charlotte, at the end of the Trump administration, we were getting calls from government workers who were terrified of what even showing up at our annual workplace summit would mean, possibly for their jobs. You know, keep in mind, though, lifting the muzzle on federal agencies, DEI work is not the only action he took touching on these issues. He also put forward a commission for racial equity to ensure this lens is brought to every aspect of government work. And that was on the first day, these two things. And of course, I know you're celebrating along, you know, all of us are celebrating just on Monday, signing the order to reverse the trans military ban, allowing now, finally, transgender Americans to serve our country freely, safely, and honorably. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but I like to mention here, Charlotte, a reminder that the United States Department of Defense is the world's largest employer and is now trans-inclusive. So we are thrilled about that. And some other things, you know, for example, being able to fill out your pronouns when, you know, filling out the contact form for the White House website. These are all great things, important things that we all have been fighting for a long time, and we're thrilled about that. Okay, so let's move on to what we want, because that is important. There's still a lot of work to be done. The U.S. still lacks consistent LGBTQ protections in federal law. We must pass the Equality Act. State houses are already jammed up with anti-LGBTQ bills with a particular focus on transgender youth, some of the most vulnerable members of our community, and we must protect them. Black and brown people, of course, continue to face discrimination barriers to success in the workplace, racial profiling from police officers, and more. All of these folks, all of us deserve. I do want to quickly mention, it's a bit, you know, wonky, policy wonky, but when it comes to executive orders, the devil is really in the details. So the executive orders I mentioned did a lot to right-size the ship, and the execution of it now moves to the agencies. So right now it's really about follow-through. For instance, the Trans Military Ban Executive Order didn't explicitly say that trans people must be allowed to enlist. It implied it, and now DOD under Austin needs to actually execute policies that mean there's no more discrimination, and lots of us are obviously going to be following that. And the same is true of his other orders, implementing Bostock, for instance. For example, how will the Department of Education go about ending gender discrimination in schools and colleges? So lots of work needs to be done yet. And, you know, what happens in the White House matters. All of us have been working towards some of these rapid repairs, I'll call them, for a long time, but we can't depend on Washington, D.C. and the White House to solve our problems. So we all need to continue to come together and to work together collectively to focus on what's in front of us. And that really includes not giving up on watching and making sure that our politicians are doing the right thing, but that we are all stepping up to do what we need to do in this important work.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids, especially struggling in these COVID times?
Yeah, so I want to say a few things to any youth that are listening today. Number one, these are excruciatingly difficult times, and although you may feel different than what you see in others, especially, you know, sometimes on social, desperation is, in fact, more of the norm, no matter what age you are and whoever you are. If you need help, call for help. Get in touch with the Trevor Project. It's an amazing resource. And, Charlotte, I know you've pointed to Trevor many times in your work. Go to thetrevorproject.org. Call 1-866-488-7386. It's a hotline. If you need help immediately, first of all, do that. Number two, I want you to know that this queer movement, and many of us working in this for many years, would want you to know that the movement is long, wide, and deep in ways that if you're of a certain age, you might not even know about yet. And we have not been beaten down by the Trump administration. We may be taking a collective breath, but I see that, and I would hope that the youth looking and watching the news would know that we are together across many organizations and identities within our movement, and we are pushing this administration to continue to make good on its promises. We will be working, hopefully with your help, But just know that there are movement leaders and organizations who are working as fast as we can to repair some of this damage and get us back on track. And finally, I just want to tell you that from the mission, the perspective of the Out and Equal mission, we focus on workplaces. We are doing what we can to work with major employers and the government to prepare workplaces for you, to focus on diversity and inclusion, but also what I mentioned before, creating cultures of belonging. We know that having access to good jobs and inclusive environments is critical, especially for trans people who have historically and now faced much greater challenges getting jobs. So I just want you to know we are working to work with workplaces to get ready for the issues and opportunities with LGBTQ youth coming in to workplaces.
How can people get information about Out and Equal?
Well, there's a few ways. Number one is absolutely go to the website. We are at www.outandequal.org altogether. There's also different ways you can follow us on social media, LinkedIn, all the normal ones, Instagram, Facebook. If you are already working in an organization, whether it be for the government, some big nonprofits are part of our network, and also, of course, companies, you can find us and work with us through your own organization's employee resource group. And certainly, if you get a chance, we would love to welcome you to any of our free webinars and learnings that are happening. You can find that through the website. And also, we have always and will continue to convene the Workplace Summit, whether that's virtual in times of COVID or when we come back together in person. It's always in October. It's 3 days of incredible networking and training. And no matter who you are, we would love to have you join us at the summit someday.
What projects are you working on?
I'm thrilled to tell you we are very busy. We're still maintaining a focus in COVID times of virtual events. Let me just mention a few big ones, and there's so many ways for you all to get connected into this. Number one, we have what we call Executive Forum, which has always convened in April, kind of opposite in the year to our big summit, which happens in October. Executive Forum is a smaller program focused on leadership, and will happen in April. So you can go to our website and learn about that. We're supporting through significant grants from JP Morgan Chase recently and Bank of America in both trans leadership and the leadership of people of color. So we're really thrilled to really be pushing different angles and new approaches on leadership. Number two is the summit, of course, that will be happening in October, whether it be virtual or in person. We have a host of virtual programs and products. Many of these are available for free and they're global. So if you go to our website and you plug in or you get our newsletter, you will find out when you might be able to call into a webinar or download a resource, everything from mental health and well-being in the workplace for LGBTQ people, also to things like how to implement pronouns in the workplace. They're really practical. And then finally, I want to mention, we are going to continue to do our Southern Forum work. And this, Charlotte, was important because a few years ago, we noticed that people coming from around the world, but specifically people coming from companies or organizations in the South, working in the American South, especially before the Supreme Court decision last summer, were really struggling with LGBTQ equality. The companies may be supporting it, but in the larger environment, especially if the companies resided in states where queer people were not protected, they were struggling with different issues, you know, how religion shows up in the workplace, the culture. This has always been important work for Charlotte, but especially now with what the recent election has elevated to all of us, which is we could not be more divided. And we think that this work in the South, which frankly is going to benefit not just people in the South, but people in kind of remote or rural areas of the U.S., where they're dealing with these specific cultural challenges to D&I work. And we believe we're really carving out original and exciting content there. And of course, we're going to keep doing work, trans-specific work, non-binary identity work. So those are just a few things. We are very busy, but we would love to have people plug into any of these, many of which are free. And again, you can find it all on our website.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I wish more people, all people, in fact, would ask me what they might learn or do to strengthen themselves as agents, so to speak, in the long term, what is really a lifelong struggle for the work we're doing. As I watched the protests for Black Lives Matter and a lot of what's happened, people come out in the streets despite, you know, even the dangers of COVID, but people wanting to take a stand and coming out and demonstrating in that way is so critically important. And also, this work will only be achieved through some really long-term and creative strategies coming together across social justice movements for the long game, because this work is incredibly difficult, and we need to both protest and be out there as activists in the way we often see up on TV, but also in the less sexier ways that are also incredibly important, that sometimes require us to have both resilience and patience and, frankly, creativity and savvy, because long-term transformational change in this country, in the world, especially in these times, requires both of those views. So I would hope people would be mindful of that and work with us to partner together to figure out how to stay in the game and keep pushing for that kind of change.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through these difficult times?
Oh, I love that question. So, you know, maybe not a quote or mantra, but I'll tell you what, Charlotte, something that I have been speaking about for 3 years as a way to think about being interconnected is actually a greeting. And I don't know, I think I may have mentioned this back when you and I talked a few years ago, but I did a lot of work in my early 20s in sub-Saharan Africa, working with journalists, women journalists. And in my travels, I became aware of this greeting, which actually is pretty common in collectivist cultures. But the Zulu tribe in South Africa has a philosophy called Ubuntu, which is really about interconnectivity. And when people greet each other, when friends see each other on the street, one person will say, Sawubona, which means, I see you. And the other person will respond, Sakona, which means, because you see me, I exist. So even though this is a greeting, it's something I remind myself of all the time, because we cannot do this incredibly important work if we are not seeing each other. And that includes people in the LGBTQ community seeing each other. It means that if you do not have relationships with and understand the trans experience as a gay or lesbian person, you should. You need to. And it's an incredibly important and beautiful opportunity to reach out and get to know more people and their experiences. Same with I plus people, non-binary people. I think the LGBTQ umbrella has some work to do there, and we can sharpen and polish our skills to then reach out beyond ourselves. So I think Sawubona and Sakona is just a reminder. It's something I think about a lot, that this work all starts with seeing and being seen by others. We matter, we matter to each other, and we're all part of a greater system. So that's something that gets me through and keeps me focused.